Welcome to Damn Good Movie Memories with your host, Brian Davis. This podcast is the cure for your long commute and super boring workday.
And now, just for you cinema owners, a special message from the star of that film, Steve Martin.
Hi, theater owners. There's a picture coming out directed by Carl Reiner, starring myself, Steve Martin. It's called The Jerk. And I just want to let you know, we're going to hype the hell out of this thing. It's going to be a real moneymaker for all of us if we cooperate. Picture's got everything they want. It's got the chase scene. It's got the karate fight. It's got the blue language they love so much. It's got the double entendre. The adults get it, the kids don't. Everybody goes out happy. Plus, we stuck in a phony disco song. They all go out whistling it at the end like a bunch of idiots. This is a first. We intentionally stuck in a boring part in the middle. Just for you theater owners, about an hour into the picture, they're going to be out buying your popcorn in droves. They're going to be lined up. You may even have to take on extra help just to handle all the business. You're welcome. Gift from Steve. Reviews? Don't worry about it. We got 100 great reviews coming all across the nation. We took care of it, okay? The old cashola. Plus, we made a preview of coming attractions. We took the best stuff from the picture, stuck it all on one reel. They're going to think this picture's loaded. We even got stuff from other movies on it. By the time they figure that one out, we're going to have their money. We'll be in the Bahamas. Publicity? Don't worry about publicity. I got that covered. I'm going to do a publicity stunt the day before the picture opens. Can't tell you what it is. Well, I'll give you a little bit. You heard the expression, let it all hang out? Well, at noon, the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Hey! Hey, who put this reel on? This reel is for theater owners. Put the other reel on!
Hanging out.
Hey there, it's Brian Davis, and for this week's episode, we're going to cover the movie The Jerk from 1979. The studio was Universal Pictures. Release date was December 14th, 1979. The running time, 95 minutes, and it was rated R. The budget was $4 million, and the box office was a smash, taking in $74 million, making it the 8th-ranked movie of 1979. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 83% fresh from 42 reviews. Their consensus is it's crude, crass, and oh-so-quotable. The Jerk is nothing short of an all-out comedic showcase for Steve Martin. However, Roger Ebert at the time only gave it 2 out of 4 stars. Here's his review. Reviewing a comedy can be a tricky business because the question of whether the comedy was good or bad depends almost entirely upon whether or not the reviewer was amused. Laughter is quite often an involuntary reaction. If I laugh at something and you don't, no amount of my logic is going to convince you that it was funny. And so when I say that The Jerk, the first major film starring Steve Martin, was not an amusing comedy, I should probably also report that a lot of the people who went to the sneak preview laughed all the way through it. Others booed, but there you are. I can report, however, why I didn't find The Jerk very funny. It began to grind on me right at the beginning because it was depending on what's rather than whys for its laughs, and I'll explain. It seems to me that there are two basic approaches to any kind of comedy, and in a burst of oversimplification, I'll call them the funny hat and the funny logic approaches. The difference is elementary. In the first, we're supposed to laugh because the comic is wearing a funny hat. And in the second, it's funny because of the reasons for wearing the funny hat. You may have guessed by now that I prefer the funny logic approach, and that The Jerk is almost entirely a movie of funny hats. The Jerk is all gags and very little comedy. All of the gag situations are milk for one-time laughs. They don't grow out of his character or contribute to it. The Jerk eventually becomes aggressive and almost hostile in the way it lobs one funny hat after another at us. We get the sense at times that the cast and the crew arrived at a location, found the script bankrupt of real laughs, and started looking around for funny props. There's another sense in which The Jerk made me uncomfortable. There's a smarmy undercurrent in this movie that seems to imply that Steve Martin may be playing a jerk, but that we all know what a cool guy he is. Well, if you're going to play a jerk, play one as if you think you are one, or you might end up looking like a jerk. And that's the end of Ebert's review. Obviously, I don't agree with most of Ebert's review here, since I do find The Jerk very funny and always have. However, I do agree with the beginning point of Ebert's review, which is that comedy is completely subjective. To try to explain or convince someone why you find something funny is actually kind of pointless. The Jerk is arguably Steve Martin's funniest movie, and at the time of its release, Martin was one of the most popular entertainers. He was an incredibly successful stand-up comedian. He had regular appearances on Saturday Night Live, and then he released The Jerk, which was his first starring role in a movie. And if you've ever listened to any of Steve Martin's comedy albums from the 1970s, you know his material is completely wacky, unlike any comedian at the time. You know, the whole, I'm a wild and crazy guy. I mean, you know, the plot of The Jerk is a lot like his stand-up act. It's completely ridiculous, for me, in a good way. Okay, let's get into the making of the film. So for Steve Martin, he says it was a strange and crucial time in his career as he was coming to the end of being one of the most successful and unique stand-up comedians of his era, and then pivoting to acting in film. And even though Martin was not a stand-up for very long, he realized his brand of humor, of being quirky and weird, it just wasn't going to last. Martin liked that by becoming an actor, the film is what goes to each person. He doesn't have to physically travel to various cities to present his work, unlike being a stand-up comic. Also, acting would allow Martin to perfect his art, meaning if it takes 7 takes to get it right, so be it. You can't do that with live performing. Martin had an idea for a movie and co-wrote a script with Carl Gottlieb and Michael Elias, and it was called Easy Money. When director Carl Reiner came into the picture, the title evolved into The Jerk. Martin says that he was reading a novel by Dostoevsky called The Idiot, and he wanted a title that kind of stood out like that. Carl Gottlieb was a well-respected comedy writer who wrote for the Smothers Brothers TV show and other shows in the 60s and 70s. His film screenwriting debut was a doozy as he adapted the original Jaws from the novel. Next up was Which Way Is Up with Richard Pryor. He then wrote Jaws 2 and then The Jerk. Initially, Martin and Gottlieb were stumped about what to write about, and weeks went by before the idea of money came into play. But they were still stumped. Then Martin mentioned that one line that always got a laugh in his stand-up act was, I was born a poor black child. And with that, they were off and running, writing what would become The Jerk. Even though Martin was well known for his stand-up work, and of course appearing on Saturday Night Live, he wasn't movie star popular. And a producer from Paramount named David Picker suggested they shoot a short film, which was called The Absent-Minded Waiter. And this would effectively introduce Martin to film fans. Paramount originally was going to produce the film, but there was a change of guard at the studio and the new boss didn't like the script and gave ownership of the script back to Martin. Picker then went to Universal, and that's the studio that made the film. Initially, the director was going to be Mike Nichols, and he really liked the script, and he asked if the writers and Martin could do a rewrite with Mike Nichols' regular comedic partner, Elaine May. Everyone agreed, and they were excited. However, Nichols was going to make a film with Paul Simon first. That film was actually never made, and everyone had moved on by then. And as talented as Mike Nichols was, he wouldn't have been a good director for this particular film. Carl Reiner, on the other hand, was the perfect director for Steve Martin because Reiner, being frankly a comic genius himself, understood that he needed to just let Steve Martin do his thing. Don't try to rein him in, let him go and the magic will come. Martin said that Reiner was incredibly helpful to him learning the process of film and had a funny story where Reiner told him that he goes through all the scripts he directs and the first thing he does is change the nights to days so he doesn't have to shoot at night. So the movie that Reiner directed prior to The Jerk was the very popular Oh God from 1977, which had George Burns and John Denver in it. And if you weren't already aware, Carl Reiner was already a legend in the business, originally working as one part of the comedy duo with Mel Brooks in the early 60s before his film and television career took off, and of course he was on the original Dick Van Dyke Show. Now, the character name of Navin was given to Martin by Mel Brooks. Martin and the writers had a goal to have a joke on every page of the script. Now, Carl Reiner said, The Jerk is the type of film where even if you come into watching the movie in the middle of a scene, you'll still end up laughing. Carl Gottlieb has said that what made Steve Martin so unique as a comedian is that he's not on all the time, meaning he doesn't feel that he has to perform when he's around people. Often, he's very just laid back and somewhat serious. He was very subtle when writing his jokes. Martin credits Reiner for really bringing the heart to the film, crafting the love story and plot nuances, because Martin admitted he was simply best writing jokes. Obviously, the chemistry of Martin and Reiner worked because they enjoyed three more films after The Jerk: Dead Men Don't Wear a Plaid, The Man with Two Brains, and All of Me. Now, the casting of Bernadette Peters, that was perfect because she is so underrated as a comedic actress, and she understood the comedy and Martin's absurd humor. And if you didn't know, Martin and Peters were actually dating at the time, but that wasn't the reason she got the role. She was genuinely perfect to play the role of Marie. Also part of the comedy world was Jackie Mason, who was really in the down-and-out phase of his career. And his small part as the gas station owner perfectly fit the tone and vibe of the film and kind of rejuvenated his career. Okay, let's get into the film. So it opens in Los Angeles, where we see a few homeless guys laying in an alley. One of those men is Navin Johnson. That's Steve Martin. So Navin explains why he's down on his luck and flashes back to his roots living in Mississippi, where he was adopted by a black family who were sharecroppers.
Huh? I am not a bum. I'm a jerk. I once had wealth, power, and the love of a beautiful woman. Now, I only have two things: my friends and my thermos. Huh? My story? Okay. It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child. I remember the days sitting on the porch with my family, singing and dancing down in Mississippi.
So by the way, playing acoustic guitar and harmonica with the family are country blues legends Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. The hilarious part of the music scenes is watching Navin attempt to dance because he's woefully lacking any sort of rhythm. And this, of course, is played up perfectly by Steve Martin's physical humor. Later that night at dinner, we get more into Navin's issues.
Well, I hope everybody's good and hungry.
I know.
And I'm ready for that.
It's cornbread.
Collard greens, and I cooked up those hog maws you like.
Mother dear, are we forgetting something?
No, I'm not. Today is Navin's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
It's Navin's birthday. And I cooked you up your favorite meal. Tuna fish salad on white bread with mayonnaise, a tab, and a couple of Twinkies. Here, darling.
Gee, Ma, thanks. Mm-hmm.
You gonna like this shit, man.
How about your present?
Gee, Alvara.
I made it myself.
We got you something, too. A whole half bottle of lilac vegetal. It's for both of us.
Gee.
Yeah.
I do need this picture.
Here.
Thank you.
I want you to have my Zippo.
Gee, Dad. You had this since the war. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. God bless us. Everyone.
Navin.
Well, you pass me the potatoes and the collard greens.
Navin, darling.
I'm sorry I spoiled the party, Mom.
Oh, you didn't spoil the party. David, I brought you a Twinkie.
I'm not hungry right now.
Feeling different again, huh?
It's like I don't fit in. It's like I don't belong here.
It's your birthday, and it's time you knew. Naven, you're not a natural-born child.
I'm not.
You were left on our doorstep. But we raised you like you were one of us.
You mean I'm gonna stay this color?
Naven, I'd love you if you were the color of a baboon's ass.
Later that night, while listening to the radio, Naven finally hears some music that inspires him, and he finds his own goofy rhythm. Swing music. Personally, I'd rather hear the blues, but that's just me. Well, hearing the music has motivated Naven to go see the rest of the country and leave home. And his dad has some perfect advice for young Naven.
Now that you're going out into the world, there's something you should know. You see that?
Yeah.
That shit. And this? Shinola.
Shit. Shinola.
Son, you're gonna be all right. At what town are you gonna try for first?
Well, I thought I'd try to go to St. Louis because that's where that radio show was coming from.
And remember, the Lord loves a working man.
Lord loves a working man.
And son, don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Don't trust Whitey. Lord loves a working man, don't trust Whitey.
Baby.
Daddy. Pierre. Come here. Don't you forget to grow up now.
Send me a picture. Picture post on your lady. Don't forget me.
Okay. Let the boy go.
Bye.
You got work to do.
And I hope you find whatever it is you're looking for.
I will, Ma. I know it's out there.
Out there, all right. And if you catch it, see a doctor and get rid of it.
See a doctor and get rid of it.
Good luck.
Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it. Bye, Grandma.
Is he ever coming back?
Take away, please, Sally. It's making us too goddamn sad.
I wonder if he's doing all right.
Hey,
wait. No, wait. It's a truck. The truck.
Oh, Lord. Take care of our little boy.
I'm hitchhiking.
How far are you going?
St. Louis, how far are you going?
To the end of this fence.
Okay. I'm David Johnson. What's your name, sir?
Here we are.
Okay. Thanks for the company. I hope I can repay you someday.
So Naaman made it about, 30 feet. And by the way, the guy driving the truck, that was Rob Reiner. And after learning the difference between shit and chinola, Naaman walked right through the piles of horse shit. Naaman does finally go a little bit longer ride-wise than a few houses and does end up in a random city and at a motel, and he meets his first friend.
What is it, boy? Are you lost? Do you want to play? Is it trouble? Trouble? Is it an accident? A drowning? A fire?
Fire? Oh, oh, gosh! We've got to warn everybody! I've heard about dogs like you!
Call that dog Lifesaver?
No.
Call him Shithead.
Good.
Also, we hear the greatest name for a dog in film history, which of course is Shithead. So Naaman and Shithead ended up at a gas station owned by Harry Hartunian, which is Jackie Mason. So first day in town, and Naaman's already scored a job and a place to live. Next, we also meet Harry's gorgeous wife, Lenore, who was played by ex-Playboy playmate Sharon Johansson. And Naaman also runs into some trouble with the customers.
What are those?
Step outside for a second, darling. Naaman, this is my wife, Lenore. Lenore, this is Naaman.
Pleased to meet you.
Naaman, do you know why a woman of such pulchritude is married to a man like me? Because I make a very comfortable living. Now, this is the first time I'm leaving you alone on a Sunday. If anything should happen to this station, this woman would leave me like a... In other words, there would be no more, Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. No more.
So remember, guard this station with your life, because my sex life is in your hands.
I can fix those shocks.
No, we just want some gas, muchacho.
Okay, but it's Sunday. We gotta have a credit card.
Oh. And all the cash is locked up.
Oh, no, not locked up. We got a lot of cash. Just that the banks are closed. And I'm not allowed to have cash coming in or going out. Because I'm here all alone for the first time. I don't want anything to happen. And you know, you flash this kind of wad in front of some people, they'll kill you for it. Yeah. So we gotta have a credit card.
Oh, hey, Turk, we got a credit card in there?
Huh?
Credit card. Oh. Voila.
Oh, no, thanks. I don't smoke. What kind of cigarette is that?
Joint.
Joint? They don't make them very good.
Master Charge, too.
Yeah, that's fine. We take Master Charge. You want to fill up, Mrs. Nussbaum?
Oh, I'm Mr. Nussbaum.
Yeah, that's his wife's card.
Wife's card, huh?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, as long as we got a voucher.
Va a tener un conazo bien duro. Va a ser bien.
You know what I think?
Stolen!
No, they got it. I know they got it, miss you.
And I know they got it, miss you.
I got it. Just send the police car over. Mrs. Nussbaum's credit card. I got the guys who stole it. Hold on, they're calling me. I'll be right back.
Yes.
Yeah, throw a couple of tires in the trunk. Put it on the car. Radios.
Okay.
Make them white walls.
Yes, sir, Mr. Nussbaum. Anything else?
Yeah. We'll take the money you got in your pocket. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure, I'll just put it on the card. Hey, guess what? You're our eighth customer today. You want a free oven mitt. I'll go get it for you.
Yeah, I'm back. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're going to be here for a while. Don't worry. I rigged it.
You guys want to stick around for another minute? Nah. Nah, Chad did.
Hang on just a second.
So Navin attached the purse thieves' back bumper to a church next to the station. This caused half the church to fall apart and ruining the wedding, which was being held at the time. Harry takes the news of losing some cash and a few tires actually pretty well, and considering the church got the worst of it. But Navin's mind quickly shifts to when he discovers his name is now in the telephone book. He's finally made it. But now Navin's also on the radar of a psycho who wants to shoot at random people. And of course, he looks through the phone book to find these random people. The psycho is played by the great character actor M. Emmett Walsh, and he is absolutely hilarious in his brief role in this film.
Gee, Mr. Hartunian. Oh my God! Thank you.
Well, I wish I could get that excited about
nothing. Are you kidding? Page 73, Johnson, Navin, R. I'm somebody now. Millions of people look at this book every day. This is the kind of spontaneous publicity, your name in print, that makes people. I'm in print. Things are going to start happening to me now.
Johnson, Navin R. Sounds like a typical bastard. Die, Navin R. Johnson.
Bastard. Random son of a bitch. Typical run-of-the-mill bastard.
Fill her up?
Fill her up, son, and a little bit extra. Stan Fox, buying gas.
Navin R. Johnson selling it, sir.
Gotcha, you average... typical plucking into the view of a goddamn average victim bastard.
Check your oil.
Check away, Navin R. Johnson.
Oil rag at the ready, sir.
Let's check the oil together.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Son of a blocking bastard.
Looks good to me, sir, but I'd like your opinion.
Damn these glasses. Well, it looks good to me, too. Hurry up, son. Time's a-wasting. I'm going to the John. Don't forget to check those tires. Damn these glasses, son.
Yes, sir. I damn thee.
Damn! Damn these glasses!
Sir, I can fix those glasses.
Can!
Here, fix those suckers!
I fixed them. Guys, back there thinking, what causes glasses to slip on and off? And it's because when you take them on and off, you're always putting pressure on the frames like this. It causes them to spread. So I put a little handle right here in the center, and it puts the pressure on the bridge where it belongs, just like the tie rods on a 72 Buick. Plus, I put a little nose brake on them here to prevent slippage. Try it. Use the handle.
Well, I'll be. It works.
Ha!
You know, I make a pretty good living selling shit like this.
I'll tell you what. If I can develop this gizmo, I'll split with you 50-50.
Okay.
How much are we for the gas? I got a truckload of shit to sell.
26.41.
That's a triple dicks. Keep the change.
Wow, thanks.
Dead sinner, say your prayers, half-breed.
Hey, Harry, look at this. What's the matter with these cans?
Die, milkface!
These cans are defective. They're springing leaks. Come over here and look at this.
Listen, you better run for cover. You're gonna spring a leak.
Huh?
We don't have defective cans. We have a defective person out there.
He hates these cans. From the cans!
Die, gas pumper!
I gotta get away from those cans! There's cans in there too!
Run, run!
More cans!
Die, you bastard!
He doesn't want to put holes in the cans, he wants to put holes in you!
What?
You're covered.
Suck my toes!
Of course, everyone's heard this classic line, he hates these cans. Navin goes on a low-speed chase as he escapes with a car that has no tires on it. Navin and Shithead end up joining a carnival to escape the gun-wielding lunatic. At the carnival, Navin becomes a weight guesser, and there's big money in weight guessing.
For $1, I'll guess your weight, your height, or your sex.
The most exciting thing on the midway. Imagine the thrill of getting your weight guessed by a professional. You can blow up your cheeks, you can stick out your chest,
but you're not going to fool the guesser. How about you, sir? Step right up.
Hey, honey, let's see how good this guy is. What I win?
Anything in this general area right in here, anything below the stereo and on this side of the bicentennial glasses, anything between the ashtrays and the thimble, anything in this 3 inches right in here in this area that includes the chiclets but not the erasers.
No, sir. Come on, honey. He thought he had himself a room.
Frosty. So good at this.
Come on, Navin, you're doing fine.
No, I've already given away 8 pencils, 2 hula dolls, and an ashtray, and I've only taken in $15.
Navin, you have taken in $15 and given away 50 cents worth of crap, which gives us a net profit of $14.50. It's a profit deal. Takes the pressure off.
Get your weight guess right here, only $1. Actual live weight guessing. Take a chance and win some crap. Step right up.
Navin finally meets a woman, and quite a woman, who is a motorcycle daredevil with bright purple hair named Patty. Now, Patty is played by Caitlin Adams, and she was Rivka in The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond from 1980, which is a completely different role.
Turn around. Go like this. You're okay. Give me a bite of that corn dog.
What about germs?
Put a rubber on it. Get on.
Don't you wear him out, he's gonna work tonight!
What a great place! You know, you can tell so much about a person from the way they live. Just looking around here, I can tell you're a genuinely dirty person. What do I do with this? Oh, you keep it there. Where's your garbage?
You know what I'd like to do?
What?
Guess your weight.
Hey, that would be interesting for me. No one has tried to guess my weight. You see, I guess their weights and be sort of a...
Put your arms up.
This will give me a whole different perspective on this. Hey, you're really trying to be accurate. Is it getting hot in here? Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
What's your special purpose?
Well, when I was a kid, my mom told me that was my special purpose! And someday I'd find out what that special purpose was!
Today's the day!
Hey, this is like a ride!
My dear family, guess what? Today I found out what my special purpose is for. Gosh, what a great time I had. I wish the whole family could have been here with me. Maybe some other time, as I intend to do this a lot. Every chance I get. I think next week I'll be able to send more money as I may have extra work. My friend Patty promised me a blowjob. Your loving son, Navin. And he's got the kisses here.
Absolutely priceless. So Navin enjoys sharing his special purpose with Patty. However, he ends up meeting another woman visiting the carnival named Marie, and that's Bernadette Peters. And he quickly learns that he's wasting his special purpose on the not-so-friendly Patty. So Navin helps Marie catch the boy she's babysitting after he keeps riding on a mechanical train. And the shy Navin then attempts to ask Marie out on a date.
Oh, thanks for pulling my cap down.
Oh, Billy! Billy! You scared me half to death. Thank you so much. It would have been so embarrassing to go home without Billy. Oh, here's your gloves and your oil can and your wallet. Oh, and this fell out.
Oh, those guys.
Listen, what you did just now was very brave. Is there some way I could repay you?
Repay me? I could never accept anything from you for saving your child.
Oh, he's not my child. I'm just babysitting for a friend.
Oh, would it be too much if I asked for a kiss?
No.
He's a real little Dickens.
Thank you.
Oh, miss? I was just standing here right now, and I was wondering if you weren't doing anything tomorrow. That maybe you might want to go out with him.
What?
Maybe you might want to go out with him.
Are you trying to ask me for a date? Once for no, twice for yes. Okay. You're so cute. How about 3:30 tomorrow at the Roundup?
Okay. Do you have any boyfriends?
Not really.
Are they crazy? If I was a fella, I'd be around all the time.
Well, see if you can work it out. We have a date tomorrow.
What's your name?
Marie! What's yours?
I'll tell you tomorrow. It'll give us something interesting to talk about.
Word spreads quickly at the carnival, and Patty finds out about Navin and Marie, and she punches him in the stomach, and then she flips him over and pulls a switchblade on him. However, that doesn't stop Navin from going on his date with Marie.
Hi!
What happened?
Oh, it was unbelievable. These guys jumped me, tried to get these flowers. I got them for you. It's kind of a traditional date deal.
Yeah, I've heard of that. What were they?
A couple of dozen roses.
Look like daisy stems.
What? That guy Jimmy put daisy stems on my roses. Hey, look, these hoodlums are dangerous. I think we ought to get out of here before she sees us.
She?
What?
I said she.
No, I always call a gang she. It's like when you call a boat she or a hurricane she.
A girl?
A girl, you can call a girl she. That's just one of the many things you can call she.
Why are you smiling?
You're the first person I've ever had in my place.
Do you live here? Oh, it's nice. So did you decorate it?
Yeah, I got all this stuff from the old Cup of Pizza place before they tore it down.
That was really good pizza.
Oh, this is the best pizza in a cup ever. This guy's unbelievable. He ran the old Cup of Pizza guy out of business.
Really?
People come from all over to get this.
You know, you have beautiful skin. May I? So smooth and flexible.
I take after my mother's side of the family.
It's amazing the way it just snaps back like that. Amazing. Are you a model?
No. I'm a cosmetologist.
Really? A cosmetologist? That's unbelievable. That's impressive. Must be tough to handle a weightlessness. Can I ask you a personal question?
What is it?
Now, be totally honest. You do have a boyfriend, don't you? know this is our first date, but do you think the next time you make love to your boyfriend, you could think of me?
Well, I haven't made love to him yet.
It's too bad. Do you think it's possible that someday you could make love with me and think of him?
Who knows? Maybe you and he can make love and you could think of me.
I'd just be happy to be in there somewhere.
After a super awkward kiss where Navin licks Marie's face, by the way, Bernadette Peters had no idea what Martin was going to do, and she almost bursts out laughing in this scene if you actually watch it again. So Marie then asks if Navin has a girlfriend, and Navin asks, well, does that really matter? And, you know, that he's kind of available, but then Patty arrives.
Did you forget about my ass?
No, I've been thinking about it. She tattooed my name on her ass. I mean, not just my name, a lot of names. And funny things, too. She's got one up here that says slippery when wet. Now, Marie is the type of person that if you got a...
This gash doesn't get her buns out of here. I am going to drive this bike up her butt.
Well, Patty tends to be more direct.
And you, farm boy, we're married. And it's for you, Cupie doll.
You protected me. You must really like me.
It's true. Marie does really like Navin.
Playing that just now, I had the craziest fantasy that I could rise up, float right down the end of this coronet, right through here, through these valves, right along this tube, come right up against your lips and give you a kiss.
I didn't.
I didn't want to get spit on me.
So, the date continues and Navin gets the highs and the lows of his whirlwind romance with Marie.
Thank you.
you too?
I really do want to kiss you. But I'm afraid.
I would have kept my tongue in.
No, I mean, I'm afraid if I kiss you, I'll fall in love with you.
You will?
And I don't want to.
You don't?
My mother sacrificed everything to send me through cosmetology school.
She did?
She has this dream for me to be someone.
She does?
To marry someone. Power. Money. Vision. Someone with a special purpose.
I've got one! Special purpose!
You do?
Yeah, it's fantastic! It's great! It's unbelievable! And I was afraid to tell you about it! Your mother's gonna love me!
Marie, are you awake? Good. You look so beautiful and peaceful. You almost look dead. And I'm glad because something I want to say that's always been very difficult for me to say. I slit the sheet I slit, and on the slitted sheet I sit. I've never been relaxed enough around anyone to be able to say that. You give me confidence in myself. I know we've only known each other for 4 weeks and 3 days, but to me, it seems like 9 weeks and 5 days. First day seemed like a week, and the second day seemed like 5 days, and the third day seemed like a week again, and the fourth day seemed like 8 days, but the fifth day you went to see your mother, and that seemed just like a day, but then you came back, and later, on the sixth day in the evening when we saw each other, that started seeming like 2 days. So in the evening, it seemed like 2 days spilling over into the next day, and that started seeming like 4 days. So at the end of the sixth day, on into the seventh day, it seemed like a total of 5 days. And the sixth day seemed like a week and a half. I have it written down, but I can show it to you tomorrow if you want to see it. Anyway, I've decided that tomorrow, when the time is right, I'm going to ask you to marry me. If that's okay with you, just don't say anything. You've made me very happy.
Oh, I'll see you again whenever spring breaks through. Anything!
Time may lie heavy between, but what has been is past forgetting.
This sweet memory across the years will come to me.
Though my world may go awry, in my heart will ever lie just the echo of a sigh. Goodbye.
Honey, who's the happiest guy in the world?
You are.
That's right. And who's the happiest gal? That's right. Honey, guess what? I wrote a song for you this morning. Oh, I'm picking out a thermos for you. Not an ordinary thermos for you, but the extra best thermos you can buy, with vinyl and stripes and a cup built right in. I'm picking out a thermos for you, and maybe a barometer too.
And what else can I buy? So on me you'll realize a rear-end thermometer, too.
Honey, there's a question I've been wanting to pop, but I've been afraid you'd say no. But this seems like the right time and place, so here goes. Honey, will you marry me? Yee-hoo! Come on, let's seal it with a kiss. Get in that tub with me. Not you, shithead. Where's Marie? What letter?
Dear neighbor, Rosie, Rose, I serve forward to tell Rosie that we're to be this. Rosie, Rose.
Marie! Marie! Shithead! Come here! Good idea!
Marie! Marie! Why did you leave me? I couldn't read the letter. It was too blurry. Marie! Marie! Here, boy. Marie! 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 Where are you, Marie?
So the letter got all wet, hence the gibberish. David then runs outside naked, only holding Shithead and another dog in front of his special purpose. After having Marie leave him, Navin then tries to set Shithead free, and the dog hilariously obliged by running away before Navin even gives his farewell. However, Navin changes his mind and ends up dragging Shithead back. Navin decides to try to find Marie and win her back. He does this by traveling to Los Angeles. However, he's still being hunted by the psycho who hates cans. After a hilarious on-foot chase, we discover our psycho friend is now a private detective. He's past his rough patch, and he has a new lease on life. He no longer wants to kill complete strangers. So the letter delivered by the private investigator was from Stan Fox, the guy from the gas station whom Navin fixed his glasses from slipping. Stan actually patented Navin's invention and has given Navin the royalties from the new glasses. And just like that, Navin has become an overnight millionaire.
To impart to you.
Navin! Remember me?
No, but don't feel bad.
Fox! Stan Fox! Remember the gas station? Boy, you are one hard guy to find! You don't remember me. The glasses handle, look!
Oh, yeah. My glasses handle.
Use the OptiGrab.
OptiGrab?
Yeah, we call it OptiGrab.
OptiGrab.
Opti from the eye, and grab from where you grab it.
OptiGrabbing it.
David, my boy, we're in business. 50-50, just like we said. Right in here. I have your first check for 250 big ones.
250?
That's just the beginning. There's going to be more, lots more.
Can I cash this?
You can do whatever you like. It's your money. It's a cashier's check.
Wow. I can use money.
Yes, I have a cashier's check, and I'd like to cash it.
How much is it for?
250 big ones. 250 dollarinis. That's 250 donuts.
You want to cash this?
Well, I could take 50 of the donuts and deposit the other 200 beauties.
Have a seat, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
I will need two pieces of identification.
Ah, yes. I have my temporary driver's license and my astronaut application form. I didn't pass that, though. I failed everything but the date of birth. Didn't get the job.
Everything's in order. If you'll just endorse this. There.
I need a pen.
Pen, okay.
Right here.
Yeah.
You.
And fill out this deposit slip right there.
All right. Endorsing and filling out of the deposit slip. 250,000 dollars.
now the only thing missing from his life is Marie. Navin gets a call from Marie's mother, and he decides to go to her job and win her back.
Mrs. Kimball? You're Marie's mom! You read about me in the paper? Yeah, I've been trying to contact her. I don't know where she is. I'd give anything to find out. That sounds a little high. How about $75? Okay. Okay, what is it? The May Company in Los Angeles.
Shithead! I know where she is! I know where she is!
Now, doesn't that feel good?
Mm-hmm.
There, now we are complete. Putting on mascoderm just took a few short minutes, and when we peel it off, you will look 20 years younger.
Olivai?
Yes, exactly. Now, we'll let this dry. In the meantime, we can go pick out an eyeshadow and lip tint for him. Now, everyone just follow me this way, because this is a very interesting line. I think you'll enjoy this. With your husband's coloring, a deep tone would bring out his lips, and this nature beige will feature his eyes just wonderfully.
Let's try everything.
Wow.
Ah, let's go unmask Irving. Everyone, back this way. We are now going to peel off our mascoderm. Irving's skin will be tighter, firmer, and he'll look like a different man. You'll be amazed. Get ready, Irving. Jeez, this shit really works. Navin. Oh, my sweetheart.
What are you doing to my husband, you Miss Blondie? Irving, are you crazy?
Dear Mom, the big news is Marie and I were married. We couldn't wait. Luckily, we found someone at the Hollywood View Apartments who could marry us immediately. He was a certified priest. We were both glad we had a religious wedding. Money hasn't changed our lives that much. Our one little extravagance is a live-in butler and housekeeper.
Another check. Just as I thought. Look at that. Nearly $750,000. Sir, it would seem with this kind of income, you could buy a larger house with proper servants' quarters.
Well, Mom, remember my dream of owning a big house on a hill? How I used to wish for a living room with a plaster lion in it from Mexico? And how I always wanted a large 24-seat dining table in a dining room with original oil paintings by Michelangelo and Rembrandt? And remember how I always wanted a rotating bed with pink chiffon and zebra stripes? And remember how I used to chit-chat with Dad about always wanting a bathtub shaped like a clam and an office with orange and white stripes? And remember how much I wanted an all-red billiard room with a giant stuffed camel? And how I wanted a disco room with my own disco dancers and a party room with fancy friends? And remember how much I wanted a big backyard with Grecian statues, S-shaped hedges, and three swimming pools? Well, I got that too. Marie and I are getting along swell, but I've got a lot to learn about handling my money and banks. You have to be careful. Poor Hobart. His dear wife Hester took some money out of her savings account and had to pay a substantial penalty for early withdrawal. Enclosed is this week's check. Love, Navin.
Sorry about your wife, Hobart.
Federal regulations, sir. Oh, dear me. Your wife has given you another gold chain. I nearly forgot. I suppose I'm still not quite over Hester's death.
Well, these things take time.
Yes, so I'm told. Oh, here's your drink, sir. Like the one you saw in the magazine.
Well, you got the bamboo umbrella and everything. See that? Be somebody.
Very good, sir. Very good. Oh, there's some charity people here to see you, sir.
No! Send them away! There's a lot of people more deserving than me.
Ah, but these people want you to give.
Oh.
Okay.
My name is Father Carlos Las Vegas de Cordova.
Father, you seem like a religious man. How can I help you?
By giving me 3 minutes of your time so that you can see some film of a great ugliness that is spreading in my country.
Oh, God. I'll bet it's disgusting. Hobart?
Yes, sir?
Are you over your grief enough yet to dim the lights?
Of course, sir. Well, one can't mourn forever. You will not believe what you're about to see. That human beings could have sunk so low that they can take pleasure to do this to another of God's creatures. I hope you have a strong stomach, senor.
Roll the ugliness. Lord, I've heard about this cat juggling. Could there be a God that would let this happen? How much do you want?
Not cat juggling, which is, of course, so much worse than cockfighting. I'm not going to say the obvious puns for the other. Anyway, of course, the man juggling cats in the film is Steve Martin in disguise. In any case, Navin has everything he's ever wanted. But remember, the beginning of the film, Navin had nothing but his friends and his thermos. So what causes Navin's demise? Well, the final hilarious 15 minutes will answer all of that. Plus, a courtroom scene with Carl Reiner is absolutely hilarious. While Steve Martin is easily one of the greatest comedic actors of his generation and has made a number of fabulous films, I think The Jerk is still one of his funniest and most absurd and often my favorite of his. I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles being a very close second, but he's not really the comic relief in that. That's John Candy. If you still haven't seen The Jerk and this priceless gem, I would definitely check it out. All right, some fun facts. There was a 1984 TV movie sequel, which was made, which involved the same character of Navin Johnson, but nobody from the original film was involved, and it just sounds pretty awful. Though there was likely a pilot for a potential series that never got that far, obviously. Stanley Kubrick was actually a big admirer of The Jerk. He would often recite lines from the film to the cast and crew on his films and once invited Steve Martin over so they could play chess. Bill Murray filmed a cameo that was actually deleted. On the December 15, 1979 episode of Saturday Night Live, Murray jokingly reviewed The Jerk saying, "I was in the movie but cut out of it. That doesn't influence my opinion. The movie is a dog. There's something missing. I don't know who it is. I can't say." So because of the gas shortage at the time in 1979, Steve Martin and Carl Reiner carpooled to the set every day. And Reiner recalled, "Every day we came up with at least one or two new jokes on the way to work." So of course, as I've said, the name of the dog in the film is Shithead. But in the TV version, he's renamed Stupid. All right, we have a special guest, and no, I'm not going to call him a jerk because he's actually a very nice guy. It's Stephen Michael from the Grown Up Rock Podcast. Now, Sonny Pooney from the Grown Up Rock Podcast may label him that, but I'm not going to go there because I think Stephen's a great guy. So he discusses The Jerk, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And then I'll be back next week with yet another random movie from my DVD collection. Okay, we're back with Stephen Michael from the Growing Up Rock Podcast. He's going to join me to talk about one of his favorite movies, and that's The Jerk from 1979. Welcome back, Stephen.
Brian Davis, all I got to say is I am not an idiot. I'm a jerk.
That's right. There are so many one-liners in this film. It's terrific. I think many people, including myself, still think this might be Steve Martin's finest film, but we'll get there. Did you see this in the theater when it came out? I mean, you would have been a
teenager at the time, so it had been perfect. And were you already a fan of Steve Martin before the film? Because he was very, very popular stand-up comic, and he was also on Saturday Night Live a lot.
So I'm going to definitely say no with this one. I think I would have probably been a bit too young. What year was this one?
79.
Borderline. So I still say that I want to say I probably saw this on VHS.
Okay, got it. And so was it one that immediately got you? Like, you're like, this is hilarious. This is terrific. I love Steve Martin. Or was it kind of a slow burn for you?
You know what? I want to say the first few times it was a bit of a slow burn, but as I got older and as I watched it more often, it became a lot like a Caddyshack or a Stripes or something like that. I feel like this is one of those classic movies, right?
Oh, absolutely. And great era of film. Do you wish that Steve Martin had like continued his stand-up career or just like Eddie Murphy, where, you know, he kind of peaked when he did and he was smart enough to pivot at the right time in his career to acting?
So I only really knew Steve Martin from Saturday Night Live. And then the rest of the Steve Martin, I'd always heard he was a great stand-up comedian. But to be honest, I never really saw that much of his stand-up routine. It was more, you know, the movies. I mean, he's done a lot of great movies. It's not just The Jerk that he's done that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed a lot of his movies. So that's kind of where he fell for me.
Now, this movie, look, it's the epitome of ridiculousness, and that's kind of why it's beloved. Obviously, some of this film wouldn't fly as a film today, but I think, again, that's why it's so revered. So what are some of your favorite scenes? They don't have to be the ones that don't fly today, but in general, like when you think of this film or when you rewatch it, where you're like, oh, my God, I forgot how great this is.
I mean, it's a lot like Mel Brooks movies, right?
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff that wouldn't fly today. And to be honest, I'm not going to lie, I still laugh at it today. It's hilarious. I mean, I was born and raised in that period of time, so I can't apologize for any of that stuff around me. It just is what it is. Looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, maybe not. But it's just, look, as long as I've got wealth and power and the love of a beautiful woman, I'm fine, okay? I'm good to go. I don't know, man.
That's the key to life, of course.
That and the fact that I always keep a piece of paper in my wallet that says, don't trust Whitey, Lord loves a working man, and see a doctor and get rid of it. It keeps me on the straight and narrow.
I mean, those are brilliant, timeless lines.
I mean, look, I keep these in my wallet, man. They bat me through life, man. I don't know. It's just so good. There's so many one-liners in this movie, and it just, it is ridiculous, but it never gets old. It just makes me laugh. Where do you want me to start with which scenes do I love best? Because there's just so many of them. When he discovers his special purpose, I mean, that's fantastic. In fact, people are still posting memes. I saw one posted today that Chris Sinzak posted, which is, you know, the sniper guy picking off the cans. He hates these cans. I like one of the things I caught this time around was when he's muttering under his breath, typical bastard, die, Nathan R. Typical bastard. I'm like, what is a typical bastard? What's that
mean? Yeah, Emmett Wall. Walsh is so good in that, playing that whack job like shooter. And actually, I don't think you can get away with that today because of all the shootings that are going on. So it's just like back then, it was just some whack job that it was a funny scene. Like, he's just a funny character, even though he's trying to kill Steve Martin. And he found him in the phone book.
That's it. I'm somebody now. Well, let's see where that gets you.
Right.
But one of the things I was laughing about is, well, not laughing about it, but I was trying to think. So that scene where he is like parked up there and he's shooting. This movie happened before. Wasn't there like a freeway sniper guy around the Washington, D.C. area that was picking people off?
Oh,
in
yeah.
Their but, car that, one? But that came after this movie, right? Wasn't that like in the 80s?
It was more like in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, the D.C. sniper. So, yeah, many, many years after.
Yeah, so I that brought to mind right away that dude. I was like, wow, this guy got inspired by The Jerk.
Yeah, possibly, but he was Emmett Wells was only shooting at cans because he's such a bad shooter. But then, you know, having Jackie Mason and Steve Martin's boss is so great too. And youngsters don't remember Jackie Mason, but no, he's great as that character.
That, and I like the kid wearing the bullshit shirt.
Yes.
That's pretty hilarious with what's her name. And one of my favorites is still my favorite because I am such a cat person, but you gotta love cat juggling.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, so instead of cockfighting, they were cat juggling.
Yeah, that, and when he has to write the individually write out all the checks to pay back all the people that won the class action lawsuit. Was it's like $1.04. Yes. Something like that. It's like $1.19 or something like that.
Well, again, this comedy seems so obvious, but it's not. That's the brilliance of this, right? It's hard to write good comedy, especially when it's such on, you know, it's so on the nose.
It is. I mean, you know, sometimes I get a kick out of people that are so uptight that they're like, oh, this was ridiculous. It's like,
yeah, dude,
you don't go to the movie for the right reasons then, because when you go to a movie like this or put a movie like this on the TV, you're doing it to escape any kind of regular thoughts you have, just to enjoy and laugh.
Oh, absolutely. We've mentioned them. There's plenty of side characters in the film that are just fabulous. Obviously, she's not a side character. She's kind of a co-star, but Bernadette Peters is perfect as Steve Martin's love interest. But you got to mention the greatest name for a dog in film history. I mean, what better name than that dog?
Shithead.
Yep.
I've used that clip before for my co-host Sonny Pooney. He said something stupid to me, and I've used that. We shouldn't call you hero. We should call you shithead. Yeah, that's fantastic. And the motorcycle chick character, she's pretty funny. I don't know who that is, but she was pretty good in the role.
So I'll drop some damn good movie memory knowledge on you. So her name's Caitlin Adams, and did you ever see the Neil Diamond movie, The Jazz Singer?
I did, but probably not in 100 years.
So she is Neil Diamond's first wife in the film. So it's not who he eventually ends up with. But yeah, that's his wife in that film. And to see her play, obviously this came out before The Jazz Singer, but it's funny to see her as like the biker, like circus chick. So.
Yeah, that's a trip.
It is. That's good acting. So this was thankfully in an era of Hollywood that usually didn't do sequels as an obligation. Obviously, there were plenty of sequels that existed before that, but it didn't seem like it was as prevalent as it is today. So it's kind of nice that this film kind of stayed as a standalone. However, I'm going to have you put on your creative hat. If you were to bring back the character of Navin Johnson, what type of scenario would you put him in?
Wow, I don't know. So Hollywood just would redo this again, and they would make it. The jerk would be Kevin Hart, because that's what Hollywood likes to do. It would be Kevin Hart, or they would put a woman in it. So it would be either Kevin Hart or it would be Melissa McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And that's who would play the lead role. And you know, they would try to modernize it. So they would put it in today's time frame. So it would be somebody that was probably rich from the dot-com craze and went belly up, you know, something like that. And then they would just write some of the racist stuff that was in the original jerk out, and they would replace it with stuff that was more politically correct, I guess you could say, right?
Oh, no doubt. Like, if it was Kevin Hart, he'd probably be raised by maybe a Latino family or something like that, or, you know, something to that effect. Yeah, it's true. But let's say Steve Martin came back as the character himself. Where do you think Navin Johnson would have ended up? Would he have lost all his money again?
Man, he wasn't getting any smarter. So
even with Bernadette Peters,
he was stupid all the way to the end, don't you think?
Pretty much, but you know, God loves a working man. So
I mean, let's face it, the only reason that he had money to begin with is he lucked out.
Oh, no doubt.
Shit from Shinola. God loves a working man.
So again, as a creative person like you are, what type of product have you always wished existed? Sort of like Navin's glasses that ended up in the class action lawsuit. What product would you have you always said, like, there should be something like that?
You know what? I was like, I wish the OptiGrab would have worked because I wear glasses. So like all the time, my glasses are slipping down. And for that very reason that if you have those kind of frames, they expand. So it's exactly what the guy said. You know, this is why the glasses keep falling off your head because your frames widen and eventually they start, you know, getting loose and falling down. So initially I was like, damn, I wish the OptiGrab was a real thing that would have worked and not made you go cockeyed or look stupid because it looked stupid anyway. So that would have been a good thing. I don't know. That puts me on the spot. I'm sure there have been things that I thought of where I'm like, God, I wish I could invent that. But one of the things, I'll tell you what, it's not necessarily an invention, but it's a great idea, is we got this friend, and they're all over the place. We just happen to have a friend that makes them, but all they are basically are these thick double thermo kind of quilted pan holders, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Is all it is. But they're for bowls, so that when you put a bowl in the microwave to reheat something, like if you pour a can of soup in a bowl and you put it in the microwave, you know, a lot of times the bowl gets too hot and you can't grab it, right? It's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just put the bowl in these things and it lifts out with this thing, and you can just hold that in your hand because it's insulating the bowl and not letting any of the heat in. It's beautiful. It's a perfect, like the perfect thing. And then when you're done with it, or whether you're, if it gets dirty or whatever, you just throw it in the wash.
I think you need to do your own infomercial. I think this is great.
So it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm a good salesperson.
That's right. ShamWow. There we go.
ShamWow. I have a ShamWow for the pool.
There you go. See, they do work. You know, as someone like myself who loves the blues, I love that there's some blues music. They had some classic blues artists, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, playing in there. But look, I can't dance with the shit. So do you have the same terrible rhythm as Navin like I do?
Dude, not that bad a rhythm. I was watching that and I was like, that shit's hard to watch. Like, it's so bad, it's hard to watch. I don't even know if I could fake it that much. Like, seriously, that was really bad. I always make fun of Jen, my wife, because, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, she's not into music as much as me, and so I give her grief all the time. Like, sure. This is you with music, and I try to imitate it, but I never imitate it that well. That's really, really bad.
But that's the brilliance of Steve Martin. Like, he is so funny just doing stuff like that.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, he's definitely he has a lot of physical element to his comedy, right?
Absolutely. So we'll wrap up with this. I mean, it might be tough, and I always put you on the spot here, but I still think The Jerk might be still my favorite Steve Martin movie. Are there other movies that you enjoy more than The Jerk? And if not, what are some of your faves from him?
I don't know if I enjoy him more, but I did enjoy Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
I thought the remake of that was great with Michael
Caine.
Michael Caine. Yeah. That was a really good one. Can you feed me his other movies real quick? Do you know?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So I really enjoyed Dead Man Wear Plaid, but it's kind of a spoof on old films. The Man with Two Brains. All of Me with Lily Tomlin.
Obviously, All of Me was great.
Yeah. Yeah. We start to get into like kind of the bang zone of the late 80s. You had The Three Amigos.
I watched that recently, by the way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You think it should be almost better than it is, but it's still fun.
It should be way better than it is with all the people that are in it. It was like, I mean, other than a couple of scenes that I still quote today, it's not a great movie.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it gets better thoughts because of the great cast.
Yeah.
Roxanne, which is great with Daryl Hannah.
Yep. Enjoyed that one a lot.
Obviously, we covered Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That might be one of the top.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I think Parenthood's underrated.
Parenthood is fantastic.
Yep. And then, they did My Blue Heaven and L.A. Story.
Yeah.
And then he became kind of like the remake guy. So he did Father of the Bride. He did Sergeant Bilko, The Out of Towners, Cheaper by the Dozen, The Pink Panther. Like, all of these are kind of remakes.
I was going to qualify my movies right now. I can tell you which one's what, what it is for me.
Yeah.
So I think out of these movies, The Jerk is number one, probably Planes, Trains, and Automobiles number two. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels number three, and Parenthood number four for me.
Yeah.
And then Roxanne number five.
And Roxanne. And then one last one that people seem to really like is Bowfinger, which Eddie Murphy was into.
Sonny likes that movie. I thought that movie was meh.
Mm. I haven't seen it in a while, so I remember seeing it in the theater and I did enjoy it, but yeah, I don't know if it still holds up well. And the one that's fun, but it's not a great movie, I'll admit, is House Sitter with him and Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, meh.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as always, we know when Steven says meh, he really means ugh. That's what he does. It's a nice way of saying that.
That's our grading system on the Grown Up Rock podcast.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah. As always, listen to the Growing Up Rock podcast. They are so much fun. They've, as of recording this, they just passed their 300th episode. So that's a huge milestone for them. And again, it's always great having you on. And you're always a blast to talk to.
Yep. And always remember, wealth, power, and the love of a beautiful woman will get you through life.
That's right. And never trust Whitey.
Don't trust Whitey. Thor loves a working man. See a doctor and get rid of it.
That's right. Have a good one, Steven.
See ya.
If you are ever in the San Francisco Bay Area and still love collecting or renting DVDs or VHS tapes, come check out Captain Video in San Mateo at 2837 South El Camino Real. Captain Video is open 6 days a week and closed on Wednesday, and one of the last traditional video stores still running in the United States. New movies you can rent for $2.99 a day. Old movies you can rent for $2.99 for 5 days. And if renting isn't your thing, you can also purchase anything you find in the store. Be sure to tell Ira that you heard about Captain Video from the Damn Good Movie Memories podcast. Happy renting and happy collecting at Captain Video.
Come hang out and chill with Brian A. Davis and the Bad Beat. Wednesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on thatmetalstation.com.